Well, when it comes to talking about the Kentucky Derby picture and the three-year-old division, there is nobody better than Hall of Fame turf rider Steve Haskin. And Steve joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Steve, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy to have you on board and looking forward to talking a little bit of Kentucky Derby here with you and some of those stars that we're going to see over the next couple of months. We threw out a poll question on our Twitter feed this morning, at HRN, and we asked people which of today's two major three-year-old prep races, we'll look at them as those, the Mucho Macho Man or the Sham in Santa Anita, is most likely to produce a Kentucky Derby starter. So I'll ask you that question. What do you think? Which one?
The one who has more horses in it.
Well played. Well, let me tell you something.
Well, let's put it this way. No, you know, if you go by past performances, and you know that that Baffert gets the special ones to the Derby, and it's very rare, except, you know, when you get like a Mastery or something like that. But even with Mastery, he still winds up getting good horses to the Derby. And he's always been high on McKinsey. So, you know, just on that alone, and he was even though McKinsey got put up in the Low Sal Futurity, you know, Baffert was not happy about the results at all. He just didn't like the way it was done, and I think part of him didn't quite like the way the horse ran. Although I thought he ran pretty game for a second start, you know, just pressing the pace and digging in like that, facing much better horses and winners for the first time. But, you know, he's always been very high on Baffert's radar screen. So, I mean, if McKinsey wins the Sham the way people think he's going to, then he would be the most likely one. But, you know, listen, it's not a gimme, because there's several horses in there that we really don't know much about. A couple of them getting blinkers on. One of them was getting blinkers on, who's actually runs three good races, including a good second in the Bob Hope to Gravitos, is Marinho, who is trained by Bob Baffert. So, I mean, what else is new? We just started the year, and he's already all over the place. And it's not like him, really, to run his best horses this early. But obviously, both these horses are ready to go. And Jerry Hollendorfer's got one that looks like he could be good. He just broke his maiden, very, very game performance, called Shiver Me Timbers, who's coming off a head victory. Like I said, a very game race, beating a horse called Peace, who came back and won a very, very strong maiden race about a week ago. And he looks like he could be a real good one. So Shiver Me Timbers is one you have to watch out for. He's already finished third behind McKinsey in a maiden race. So, I mean, it's a very interesting race. Let's put it that way. And then you've got a stakes winner on the grass in there, My Boy Jack, who made his debut on the dirt and, you know, didn't fare very well. You know, didn't run horribly, but they put him on the grass for five races, and he's developed into a pretty strong grass horse. He won the Zuma Beach and was only beaten three lengths, even though he was seventh in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. But he's going back on the dirt now. And being by Creative Cause out of a mineshaft mare, he should not have any problem on the dirt, and he's coming off of two pretty strong 6 furlong works on the dirt. So, so all in all, I think it's a pretty interesting race. And then All Out Blitz, Simon Callahan's horse, is the horse that beat a horse that I liked a lot, is Restoring Hope, who I thought was going to be a good one. And then this horse Peace I was telling you about came back and beat Restoring Hope. But All Out Blitz is owned by Kaleem Shah, and he seems to be getting better, you know. So, I mean, it's an interesting race. If McKinsey can handle this field really well and win by daylight and just look authoritative, then, you know, we got something very serious with that horse.
Yeah, he certainly has run two fast races in a row, and looks like he's got a lot of improvement in him still. So, Lord knows where he could end up. It's interesting this week, Steve. We had some news on Bolt Doro.
Yep.
And
yeah.
And you know, what's your opinion when horses have little hiccups along the way on the Derby trail? Where do you put them on your list?
Well, it depends on what it is. I mean, I don't like any hiccups. I don't want hiccups. I don't want anything. I don't want horses blowing their nose or anything as trivial as it might sound. What alarms me a bit about Bolt Oro, see, I mean, I've been debating for weeks now who to put on top in the first Derby dozen, either him or Good Magic. And I'm going back and forth. And Good Magic is pretty obvious for him to do what he did and to run two huge races like that on both coasts as maidens in Grade One stakes. I mean, the way he won the Breeders' Cup and the way he galloped out, he could be something special. However, the people who favor Bolt Oro point out that he ran, and the trackers ran 78 feet farther in the Breeders' Cup than the winner. And I don't know what Nakatani was thinking. I know he broke from the outside, but he had ample opportunity to tuck in to some degree. But he just kept him to the way out in the middle of the track, and I would say he had to be seven wide going into the first turn. So for him to finish third, I thought was a pretty good effort, although he couldn't catch Salomini for second, although he had, you know, blown him away in the front run of the race before that. So I was going back and forth, and what I liked about Bolt Oro, the main thing I liked about him is that, you know, I've written several columns. I'm a major proponent, and you don't see it anymore, of three-year-olds making their debut in sprint races. If you go back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you'll find that every classic winner and every champion back then made their three-year-old debut in a sprint. And John Nayrud always discussed this with John Nayrud, and he always told me that you want to bring a horse out and sharpen him up, because you don't want to give a horse a succession of two-turn races, two-turn races, two-turn races. By the time you get to the Derby, a lot of these horses are dulled just by running two turns and not getting that sharpener. So what I loved a couple of years ago was when Nyquist and Exaggerator both made their debuts in the San Vicente at 7 furlongs. And they ran 1-2 in that race and ran 1-2 in the Kentucky Derby. So trainers don't do that anymore because the sprint races don't have points and everybody's looking for points. So I admire the horsemen who say, the heck with the points. I want to do what's right for the horse. I'll get the points later on. They have enough faith in their horse that they can do what's right by the horse, which to me is running them in a sprint to start out sharp. And then when you sharpen them up, then you progress into two-turn races and you're ready to peak on Derby Day. Well, Mick Ruiz announced that Bolt Oro was going to make his first start in the San Vicente. And so that really moved him up. And that's what made me really torn on who to put on top, because I've been such a proponent of that, it would be hard for me not to put him on top. Now, although this pulled muscle, you know, was minor, it was serious enough where they had to, you know, change their plans, and they're going to skip to San Vicente now. So that throws a whole monkey wrench, you know, in the whole outlook of the three-year-old picture. Without that, Bolt Oro is just, you know, one of the horses who's going to be debuting at two turns and going to be going into the Derby off of two-turn races. But you have to remember is that, you know, it used to, before the Breeders' Cup, the championship race, the race that decided most two-year-old championships, was the Champagne, which was run around one turn. So the Champagne was the ultimate prep to, you know, for a two-year-old to go into his three-year-old campaign. But now the Breeders' Cup is at two turns, and he had horses, and then he stretched the Remsen out to a mile and an eighth, which to me is way too far for a two-year-old to run, which is why the Remsen has not produced many horses that have done anything in the Derby. And you know what? Neither is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, neither is the Breeders' Futurity, neither is the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. All those two-turn races, horses have come out of there, you know, and have done well in the Derby, but very few have won that race and come back and won the Kentucky Derby. I'm not saying none have, but the ratio is minuscule. So that's why I like when horses debut. I don't mind if you run two turns, if you're a Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner or a Remsen winner, but you come back in a sprint race, and that sharpens you up and just takes some of that dullness away. So with Bolt Oro now skipping the San Vicente, now I'm probably leaning a bit more towards good magic, because I do like the fact that he's won on both coasts, and no two-year-old can claim that.
Steve, what are we hearing on his return? Where might we see his three-year-old debut?
Well, right now it looks like it's probably going to be the Fountain of Youth, but I mean, all these things change. These trainers change. It again, going back, I don't want to sound like an old fogey by going back to the way it used to be, but trainers always kept their schedules. They made their schedules, and that was it. But nowadays, trainers, you know, you'll say, okay, where's he running next? And they'll say, okay, well, he's either going to run in the Fountain of Youth, or he's going to run in the Gotham, or he's going to run the Risen Star, or he's going to run the Tampa Bay Derby, one of those four races. well, to me, that's not a way to plan out a Derby campaign. And why do they do that? Because they're looking for the easiest place to get points. It's all about points now. It's not about getting to the Derby and winning. It's about getting points, enough points to get to the Derby. And that's why you get a lot of young trainers now who are not used to the Derby trail. They just want to get to the Derby. And the only way you can get to the Derby is to accumulate enough points to get in. So they look for the easiest spot, even if it means they have to ship their horses around the country. They have to go from Florida to New York, or even New York to Florida, which is worse. I don't like horses going from cold weather to hot weather. But that's the way it is now. And now you've got trainers, and Boldoro now is going to be included, who are giving their horse two preps before the Derby. And that was also extremely rare. You never saw that. So he was at least going to get three preps, which I like. And listen, two preps, it's been successful. But so many trainers do it. That's why it is successful. But go take a look and see where those horses are after the Triple Crown. See if you can find them. You see how many of them even make the Belmont Stakes, or how many of them make the Travers. Because when you subject a horse to two starts going into Derby, everything has to go perfect. You cannot have, you talk about hiccups, you cannot have the slightest hiccup, because if you miss one of the two races, you're done. If you schedule three races and you miss one, you still can get to the Derby, as we saw last year with Classic Empire. It can be done. You're giving yourself a little leeway, because not everything goes perfectly on the Derby trail, as everyone knows. So that's number one. Everything has to go perfect. But by giving a horse two starts, you can win the Derby off of that. But at some point, the horse is going to hit a brick wall. And they're either going to get injured or they're going to lose form. But that's the way it's been. A lot of the horses with two starts. The only one that continued with his form was American Pharoah. And, you know, of course, you're going to get an exception when you're dealing with, you know, a truly great horse like that, a Triple Crown winner. But if you look at a lot of the other Derby winners, you'll say, well, whatever happened to that horse? Where were all these Todd Fletcher Florida Derby winners, you know, that won the Florida Derby with two lifetime starts or three lifetime starts? Where are these horses? They're gone. You look at his horses last year. You know, Always Dreaming at least did have a foundation, but unfortunately he came down with ulcers and Tapper it, and so he won the Derby and he won the Belmont, and neither of his horses finished the year off. In fact, he only wound up with three horses in the Breeders' Cup, and they were both all three of them were juveniles, two in the juvenile turf, and they were all long shots. So sometimes you got to watch these horses when they start winning these races in January and February by eight lengths, and they get these 98 buyers and stuff. You do not want to see that in January or February. You want to see that in May. You want to see these horses peaking in May. You don't want to see them peaking in January and February.
Yeah, and I think that's a function of the points, too, because you have so many people, the emphasis is on winning to get the most number of points. And so they go all out in these races. In the old days, you know, trainers didn't really care if they won a prep race. They used them as a prep race.
Exactly.
And now they've got to go for the downs every time they put a horse out there.
Right. And, you know, another reason, you know, trainers will tell you, if you tell a trainer, you know, who starts his horse for the first time as a three-year-old, well, you know, he's got the Apollo curse. You know, it's 1882, and no horses won the Derby, you know, who didn't race at three. You know, to put it in perspective, by the way, no horse has won the Derby who hasn't started as a two-year-old since 6 years after Custer's last stand. You know, so that's how
Jude was there.
We have to go. Yeah, even those horses had more than two starts. But I'm just saying that. So the trainers will tell you, "Oh, that's a bunch of bunk." You know, how many horses have tried? You know, which is true. Not many horses, you know, have tried, have gotten to the Derby who didn't race as a 3-year-old. But if you go through the years, I mean, that's a long way to go. I mean, 1882, we're not talking about 40, 50, 60 years. We're talking about a long, long time. So what's happening now is if you look, you know, a lot of good horses made their debuts in the last 2 weeks in December. We saw some really good maiden races. And trainers will tell you that if they can't get a race into their horse as a 2-year-old, then the Apollo Curse is absolute garbage. Watch these trainers trying desperately to get these horses a race in, which we saw a few weeks ago. One of those being that horse Peace I was telling you about, who's trained by Dick Mandela. Peace broke his maiden on December 30th.
Yeah, Axeman? Axeman was January 1st. He's dead. He can't run in the Derby.
Well, that's it. Scott will tell you. What's the difference? What's the difference if he wins January 1st or December 31st? Well, it's a difference of one day, but it's a difference of Apollo Curse and no Apollo Curse. I believe in it. One of these years, it's going to happen. You know, we had a horse called Strike Power that everybody's talking about. That Mark Hennig saddle that was in late December. We had a bunch of others at Gulfstream. We had several other horses that looked really good breaking their maidens or winning allowance races. One of these years it's going to happen, but until then it's interesting.
Well, we know how great Curlin was, right? And Curlin couldn't do it. Right.
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, everybody said, "Oh, yeah. Well, look at Curlin ran a great race in the Derby. Well, yeah, he got beat 8 lengths, and then he comes back and he wins the Preakness. So that there is something to it. And Curlin was about as brilliant as you could get. His first three starts were all three were runaway victories. Nobody came close to him. Of course, I do have to say, by the way, that Curlin did not get the best of trips. In fact, Curlin, if you watch that race, Curlin was going. Alvarado saw a hole on the rail, and started to go towards the rail. But one of Paul Redham's horses came off the rail, prevented him from getting there. And who took that spot that he vacated? Street Sense. So it all depends on luck as well, on who gets the break and who gets the run to the hole first. We saw it with Shoemaker and Ferdinand, who beat Pat Day in Rampage to a hole along the rail in the 86 Derby, and then Ferdinand went on to win, and Rampage closed like crazy after that, but so it turns out Rampage was not nearly as good as Ferdinand. But you'll see it all the time with horses. But Jerry Bailey was a master at being able to hit the hole first, because when those holes open in the Derby, you better be the first one through it, because if you're not, you got to gear down on your horse, good luck trying to get him going again in the 20-horse field.
There's nobody better. He's Hall of Fame turf rider Steve Haskin, a Hall of Fame radio guest, too. And he's been with us here for the past little bit on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can follow him all the way down that road to the Kentucky Derby with his columns and blog posts all at bloodhorse.com. It's called Hanging with Haskin, so make sure you do that. And Steve, really appreciate the time here this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We will get that to you.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
Great. Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you guys, too. Take care.